seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're back in for a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. And I'm happy to be with you on the afternoon drive. It's the middle of the week already. That means we have high school basketball on the boys' side tonight. We have two games. One will take place on our sister station, KRPX, 95.3 The Peak. It's going to be Carbon on the road taking on the Richfield Wildcats. Big game for both of those teams. And then right here on KOAL, we'll have Emory and South Sevier. One of my favorite matchups when it comes to high school basketball. Every year I look forward to these two teams going at it with one another. It's always competitive. Typically, they're on the opposite end of the spectrum when we're talking about records, but always a very entertaining game. And I'll tell you, it's a big one for both teams. We'll talk to Coach Jeff Sinceteris about that. It's coming up on the show in just a bit. Next segment, actually, we'll get the stage set for tonight's contest. Also on the show today, I want to talk Major League Baseball and the Hall of Fame. We're not going to have anyone inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2021. No one. And because there were no winter meetings, there's the legendary vote. That's not taking place either. So, historically, this rarely happens. You'd have to go all the way back to 1960. But here's the thing. I'm okay with it. I don't understand why we have to have a Hall of Fame class every single year. Because the bottom line is, not every single year are there players worthy of being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I think that's my biggest problem with the NFL. I shouldn't say the NFL, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think that's my biggest problem with it. Every year you have players getting in because the class is a tad bit weaker. See, that's wrong. Timing of your retirement shouldn't have anything to do with when you get in. But there are some years you look at the class and you say, "Eh, it's not a great Hall of Fame class." There are some years you look at it and you say, "Wow." It's okay if nobody gets in. It's the Hall of Fame. It's not the Hall of Very Good. So what do we have this year? Curt Schilling, he was the closest. 71.1%. Is Schilling a Hall of Famer? I would have no problem putting him in there. I thought he had some really epic moments in his career. You look at the numbers, and you know, they're fine. I wouldn't have a problem with him getting in. 216 wins, over 311 strikeouts. He had a 3.4 ERA. You know, a 4.3 strikeout to walk ratio, pitched over 3,000 innings in the regular season. His postseason career, he was pretty good. 11-2 record with a 2.2 ERA and 19 postseason starts. I think it's a compelling case. But he would have been the next closest in, the closest to get in. He didn't hit that threshold. Why? Well, it's not because of his numbers. I firmly believe it's because of how outspoken he is on political issues. Yeah, we'll talk about this a little bit later on. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, hovering around that 61% mark. They got a ways to go to get to the 75% threshold. I mean, but really, is Omar Vizquel, who dropped 3%, or Billy Wagner, or Todd Helton, are these Hall of Fame caliber guys that we should be considering just so we can have a Hall of Fame class? No, the answer is no to that. I think it's really simple. We'll talk about this a little bit later on in the show. Let's take a look at some of the other headlines, and we will begin at the NFL. Jason Witten is officially calling it a career. 17 seasons, retiring from the NFL. Intends to sign a one-day contract with the Dallas Cowboys in March when his contract with the Raiders expires. Played 16 seasons with the Cowboys, played one with the Raiders. No tight end in NFL history has played more games than Witten, and only one Hall of Famer, Tony Gonzalez, has more receptions and yards at that position. Jason Witten, we'll see you with your gold jacket. He will go to the Hall of Fame. I don't think there's any question about that. Taking a look at some of the other headlines throughout the national sports scene, a little quiet today. You know, one of the things that I love, and I get teased all the time about this by Travis. He teases me all the time. I really enjoy the WNBA. I do. I enjoy women's basketball. Always have. And I think I even enjoy it more now that I got two daughters. I enjoy women's basketball. And when I follow the WNBA, I really follow more of the players than the teams. Candace Parker has always been one that I have followed. Well, Candace Parker is leaving Los Angeles. She spent 13 seasons with the Los Angeles Sparks. She's leaving. She's going home. She's going to play for the Chicago Sky. You don't see that happen at the WNBA too often. Unrestricted free agent. Role was diminishing a little bit with the Sparks. As far as the WNBA is concerned, Candace Parker is going to go down as one of the all-time greats. Now she's swapping up teams. So if you follow the WNBA, that is a big story. It doesn't happen very often. Let's move away from basketball for just a moment. Let's talk college football. Northwestern was so impressed with head coach Pat Fitzgerald that they rewarded him with a decade-long contract, an extension that will stretch through 2030. I don't think this is an overreaction. I think it's good on both ends. He was named the coach of the year in 2020, won the Big Ten coach of the year in 2018. I mean, really, former linebacker at the school, won the National Defensive Player of the Year twice when he was there. There's a legacy. It was a legacy hire to begin with. Several NFL teams in recent years kind of wanted him. They expressed interest in him. He's not going anywhere. He's going to stay put in Northwestern. He's got a contract that's going to last until 2030. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA tonight. We have a lot of games. They begin at the 5 o'clock hour. Indiana at Charlotte. We get Detroit at Cleveland. Sacramento will battle Orlando at 5 p.m. We also get Brooklyn at Atlanta. Denver at Miami. And at 5:30 on ESPN, the Lakers will take on the 76ers. Love the matchup. The Lakers have yet to lose on the road this season. Can you believe that? Yet to lose on the road. Here we are over a month into the season. They haven't lost yet away from Staples Center. They've lost four at Staples Center. We get Milwaukee at Toronto at 5:30 as well. 6:30 tonight, we get Boston at San Antonio. The Pelicans will play host to the Wizards. Oklahoma City at Phoenix. The Dallas Mavericks will take on the Utah Jazz. 7 o'clock tip-off. That game will not air here on KOAL. And then we get Minnesota and Golden State at 8 p.m. One game postponed tonight at Chicago and Memphis. Let's break for just a moment. Local sports recap coming up. Plus, we'll talk high school basketball and the Hall of Fame. As far as Major League Baseball is concerned, right here on Drive Time Sports.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Talk high school basketball on the Coach's Corner today. Got a big Region 12 contest coming up tonight. The Emory Spartans at home taking on the South Sevier Rams. Anytime these two teams get together, it's always fun. It has been for a long time. Very difficult when you go to Monroe. It's been very manageable at the Spartan Center in Castledale. We're going to talk about the heartbreak that the Emory Spartans suffered on Friday, a loss to San Juan at the buzzer, but we'll also talk about tonight's contest against South Sevier. Joining us over the phone right now, Coach Jeff Sinceteris. Coach, always a pleasure. I appreciate the time again today.
Thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely, Coach. We reached the final game of the first go-around of region play, which means we're getting down to it. Just a couple of weeks left, actually, in the regular season. Kind of bizarre to talk about it in that sense. We'll talk about what lies ahead here in just a moment. Once again, Coach, I want to rehash what went down this past Friday because it was such a hard-fought effort, such a great basketball game front to back, a lot of adversity for your squad, yet they fight back. They take a slim one-point lead in the fourth quarter. And ultimately, it was good defense, but better offense is really how the game ended.
Yeah, I thought we played extremely well, both Wednesday night at Grand and then again Friday night at San Juan. And making those trips back-to-back is always tough. But, you know, our guys responded well. The game Friday night was a close game all through the first half. We kind of fell asleep for a two-minute stretch that we normally do in games, and we've got to get away from that to start the third quarter. Got down by 15, but then worked our way all the way back. Like you said, took a one-point lead in the fourth quarter, tied the game up, you know, with a couple free throws with 20 seconds left. and ultimately got beat on a buzzer beater three-pointer. You know, it was just a good shot. I mean, yeah, we played great defense there for the 20 seconds. It's kind of scrambling. Kid makes a nice shot, and, you know, and we lose the ball game by 3 points, but our guys play extremely hard.
Played extremely hard, Coach. Erased a deficit on the road in a gym where it's not very, it's never friendly for any visiting team. And I think when you really wrap everything into the idea that you had to play in Grand and then again on San Juan on Friday, I knew looking at the schedule at the beginning of the year, boy, that's one of the toughest stretches, if not the toughest stretch this team will face.
Yeah, no doubt about it, especially where Grand is now. You know, maybe at the beginning of the year, think you maybe didn't have a lot coming back and wasn't going to be that great a team. It might not have been such a rough stretch, but you put them, you know, number two in the RPI now or three, wherever they're at right now this week. That was an extremely tough stretch, but I was really proud of the way we battled and played them on their own floor. We jumped out to an early lead and, you know, gave up that lead and then kind of hung with them and then went through a little stretch there again for a couple minutes where we put ourselves in a hole and got down by 19 points and, you know, battled back and cut that to 8 and had opportunities to get it below 8 and end up losing that game by 8 points. But we played extremely well on the road that night as well. And then you got to turn around on a one-day practice and make, you know, another 4-hour trip down to San Juan. And like you said, that's the first time I've ever coached a team in that gym. And, you know, it's an old-school gym. It's small. There's not a lot of room. And, you know, for the amount of people that were in there, it was loud, and it was kind of an old-school atmosphere, which I really enjoy as a coach. It takes me back to when I played. But, you know, our guys responded well and played well. We got a win at the sophomore level and the JV level, and they'll come out and play extremely hard in the varsity game. And, you know, I really got some good minutes out of a lot of guys that night, and I was really happy with the way, you know, quite a few guys played.
Coach, we talked about Trevin Brazier in the game against San Juan, and I really can't stress this enough to people of how special of a second-half performance that really was. You just don't see it. I believe he finished 7 of 7, if I'm not mistaken, from the three-point line in the second half. I could be wrong on that, but that's what my memory, if my memory is correct. I mean, this guy had 25 points over the final 16 minutes of the game, and they made it very difficult for Trevin to actually find space and to get the basketball. I just thought it was a tremendous second-half performance, and it's something that we definitely have to highlight.
Oh, for no doubt. I mean, he had 2 points coming in at halftime. We had a little talk at halftime about, you know, just what I thought he needed to do as a player because, you know, he has such great ability. And, you know, he went out in the second half, and you're right, he had a second half that, you know, most guys don't even dream of having. He went 7 for 7 from the three-point line. Had 2 free throws, you know. He just played awesome. I mean, he found ways. We found ways. We set him some double picks to get him freed up on the three-point line. And, you know, he came out on fire, and he kept us in that ball game and got us back, you know, to where we had a chance to win. And, you know, he's capable of doing that, you know, having a 25, 27-point effort, and maybe not all in one half. I'd like to see him spread it out over an entire game, but you know, he has that ability. He's a great shooter, and, you know, he can take the ball to the basket and create a lot of problems for teams. And, you know, sometimes I just feel like a lot of our guys are waiting for something, you know, to get them going, and I have to, you know, get after them a little bit at halftime or talk to them in a timeout and just, you know, figure out why are we not, you know, going as hard as we can go here. And, you know, he asked me at halftime, what do I need to do? I said, you just need to play. I don't feel like you're playing right now. You're just kind of out there going through the motions, and I need you to have a purpose. And so, you know, he definitely had a purpose in the second half and played extremely well for us. And, you know, I don't know if I've ever coached anybody who had, you know, a second half or a half of basketball like he had the other night. It was fun to watch, and it was nice for our team. And like I said, I mean, he had some help with some other guys that contributed and, you know, freed him up and was able to help him out. And I just couldn't be happier for the kid. He's such a great kid, and having a game like that was awesome to watch.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Emory Spartan boys basketball team. Coach, you return to play Wednesday night. Tonight, you'll take on the South Sevier Rams. And, Coach, when you look at the way the games have been played leading up to this point in time, the boys have had a lot of adversity throughout the entire year. And so I am curious to how they responded Monday at practice, knowing that, boy, that game was so close. I guess it could go one of two ways. So how did the boys respond to that?
I thought we responded really well with our practice Monday night. It was an offensive practice. We've been putting more of our focus on defense, which is what Tuesday's practice, you know, is a defensive practice. But they responded well. It was a pretty loose atmosphere. you know, after the game Friday night, you know, we had a lot of tears in the locker room. Guys laid their heart out on the line, and unfortunately came away with a loss. And that's a tough, you know, it's a tough thing. I told them as a coach, it's a learning moment. You know, you can go one of two ways after a moment like that. And, you know, in my heart, I had a feeling of which way we would go. And that to me, you know, the way we went after seeing our practice on Monday, the guys were positive. Responded well to a couple new things that we put in on offense to try and help some things. You know, and I think, you know, our defensive practice is going to mean a lot to us about how we come out and defend South Sevier, because they have, you know, really good shooters all over the floor. We do have a height advantage, and I'm hoping that Brett can help us out down low. I thought Brett did an amazing job with his best game of the year at San Juan on Friday, and he really helped us down low, you know, to counteract San Juan's big kid. And we're going to need Brett to play big minutes for us the rest of the year. We need him to play bigger than he is and older than he is and just step up and do those things. And I thought he responded really well Friday night. And, you know, he got a dunk in the JV game, and maybe that kind of fired him up. And he's had, you know, a good day of practice with our offensive practice. You know, got a dunk in practice in our scrimmage. So, you know, maybe that's going to fire him up and get him going. And, you know, but as far as the team goes, you know, I didn't see any letdown. I told them, you know, Friday night we need to take steps forward and nothing sideways or backwards. And I think we took steps forward Monday in practice.
Well, if we look at the South Sevier squad, it's a team that is in a similar spot. They are, too, looking for their first region win. Really out of character for Emory and South Sevier to be in this spot four games into the region. But, Coach, when I look at both South Sevier and I look at Emory, I'm sure you feel the exact same way. These are two very capable teams that I don't think anybody wants to see.
No, I've been telling my guys that all year long. I mean, we get into the, you know, first, second round of the playoffs, we're going to want to play Emory, you know, and rightfully so with South Sevier. You know, they took Grand to overtime. They played some super close games in our region, you know, until their last game. Richfield kind of handled them, but up to that point, they've really played well and given themselves a chance to win just about every game. And so, you know, I expect nothing less of them coming into our gym and getting after it, looking for their first region win like we are, and it's just going to be a matter of who makes more shots, who defends better, and who wants a little bit more. And I hope that's our guys come tomorrow night or you know, Wednesday night, that we can come away with the win. But I expect a really good game between the two of us. Again, they're really talented as far as an offensive scoring team. I'm hoping that we can take advantage of a few things and ourselves play a little better defense, keep us, you know, in the game. But, you know, they're going to come in hungry just like we are, just like everybody is in our region. I mean, it's such a competitive region that you can't take a minute off in any game or you get hurt, and that's kind of what's hurt us a little bit in some of our games. We just have some stretches where we just don't execute and we don't do things and we kind of get running a little wild. The game kind of gets away from us. But if we can start to learn how to control that, which I think we're doing a better job, and I really feel good about where we're headed right now. Sounds funny when you've had this losing streak we're on, you know, to sit here and say, you know, I really feel good about our direction, because I really do. I really feel like we're getting better. We're eliminating some things. We only had four turnovers in the second half with San Juan, which has been a big Achilles heel for us all year long, and we need to build on that. But, you know, if I was an opposing coach, I wouldn't want to play, you know, Emory or South Sevier or anybody in our region when it comes time for the playoffs, because our region is so competitive and everybody is so good and so well coached.
Yeah, and you talk about what you guys have to do defensively, Coach. One of the big factors, and this is always the case with South Sevier year in and year out, you got to be able to guard the wing. I mean, you have to guard the perimeter all the way around. You got to have fast rotations, because this is a team that can shoot the lights out from beyond the arc. And even though they haven't won many games this year, still, you just go down the list. I mean, Carter Peterson has knocked down a handful of three-point shots. I think he's over 20. I know that Ridge Tebbs, a kid that we saw last year, he's knocked down over 30 three-point shots. Pretty much every kid that will see time on this team can knock down an outside shot.
Yeah, they all shoot the three, and they all shoot it well. And, you know, hopefully we don't have the night that all of them are on and all of them are shooting it well, because that would be a disaster for anybody that they play, because they can all shoot it. And you just got to try and eliminate it, you know, the good looks that they have. You know, and playing a zone defense usually plays into a lot of shooters, you know, hands, where you're giving up a lot of open looks, especially scrambling like you're talking about. And so, you know, we're probably going to play a lot more man defense. We may extend our zone defense out a little bit if we do get into a zone. But it's just going to be about a mentality, a defensive mentality of not giving guys open looks and then boxing off and trying to run ourselves and just play good defense. But at any given time, any one of those guys can, you know, they can hurt you from the three-point side. And we need to do a better job of shooting three-pointers ourselves. I think our last game, of course, it helped with having Trevin, you know, hit seven, but I think we ended up with nine as a team, and that's probably the most we've had all year long. And, you know, we need to hit 10 or 11 ourselves as a team to open things up for our bigs down low. But, again, defense to me is just a mentality. It's about wanting it more. It's about, you know, pinning your ears back and being tougher than the guy across from you, and that's what we need to do to be successful from here on out the rest of the season.
Coach, I always appreciate the time, and I will talk about Richfield later on in the week, but best of luck against South Severn, and we'll catch you at the game.
Appreciate it. Hope everybody gets a chance to come out and help support us. You know, we do still have the COVID rules going on, but I know there's still some openings for people to get in the gym and watch us play. And, you know, I tell everybody, you know, don't let our record fool you. This group plays extremely hard, and they work really well. And they're a fun group to watch, especially when they're playing well and doing good things. It's a fun group to watch and come support the younger guys as well. And I appreciate you getting me on again, Jordan. Thanks.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure, Coach. We'll see you at the game.
Thanks.
It's Coach Jeff Cintanaris again of the Emory Spartan boys basketball team. Do not forget, tonight, live coverage will begin at 6:30 p.m. Tip-off will follow at 7. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we'll talk Major League Baseball. How about Curt Schilling yesterday? Basically saying, take his name off the ballot. He doesn't care if he gets in. People are voting that have no idea what they're talking about. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, they continue to trend up. Still a little ways away to get into the Hall of Fame. We'll talk about that. It's a fun topic, and it rolls around every year. Baseball, there's nothing like it, I swear. We'll pause for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports when we return.
Pitch to Bellinger. He swings, and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Feeling like a bullet, jumping
out of gun. I'm feeling like a winner, like a winner. We're back on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. Everything right now seems to be geared around the NFL and the NBA, and with no winter meetings, things have been a little bit slow in Major League Baseball. Every now and then, we get some news that'll trickle out, talking about a free agent signing here, DJ LeMahieu signing a monster deal with the Yankees, JT Realmuto getting paid by the Phillies. I was thrilled to see that. So every now and then, we get some baseball news that kind of gets the motor running, even though we're towards the end of January, still a little ways away from pitchers and catchers reporting. We're going to talk Major League Baseball right now. Everything happening, including the Hall of Fame, where Curt Schilling, who was always good for a soundbite or two, sounded off again yesterday. Joining us now to talk about that and more, we have Steve Bordstein, a great friend of mine, always kind enough to join us to talk Major League Baseball. Steve, great to get you back on today.
I appreciate the time very much. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it a lot. And Steve, we'll start with Curt Schilling. Like I mentioned, this is a guy that is never shy about giving his opinion, be it controversial or not. He just flat out does not care. Yesterday, we saw that Curt Schilling remains in contention to get into the Hall of Fame. And I think people forget that it is a 10-year process. Just look at Larry Walker. Curt Schilling garners 4 more votes this year than he did last year. He moves up to 71.1%. Top vote getter. However, it wasn't enough to get in. And because of no winter meetings, for the first time since 1960, we will have no Hall of Fame class in 2021. Curt Schilling sounds off. He says, quote, "I'm requesting to be removed from the ballot. I'll defer to the Veterans Committee and men whose opinions actually matter and who are in position to actually judge a player. I don't think I'm a Hall of Famer as I've often stated, but former players think I am, then I'll accept that honor." Your thoughts on Curt Schilling?
Well, first off, the latest update on that is I think the Baseball Writers Association of America, who is in charge of those ballots every year, I think they have denied Schilling's claim. I believe that's the most recent update on that. So barring something beyond, you know, something new coming up, Schilling will be on the ballot next year, regardless of his desire to not be on the ballot. Whether he makes it or not is still obviously up to that group of voters. Now, when you and I were talking about doing this segment last night, I went back and did some research because I like numbers and I like facts and I like to look up things. When Curt Schilling was first on the ballot. Ironically enough, it was also the first year on the ballot for both Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. And at that particular time, back in, I believe that was 2013, I believe it was, those three respective players had, like, very low numbers as far as their overall vote counts were concerned. I believe Schilling's was in the 30s. I believe Bonds was in the 30s. And I believe Clemens was also in the 30s back in 2013. Schilling was 38.8%, Clemens 37.6%, Bonds 36.2%. In the 9 years that have gone on since, all three of those players have received more votes, but still under the number. So, does Schilling maybe 10th time the charm? I don't think so, because of his political viewpoints, which he has more than often expressed after his post-baseball career. Does he belong in the Hall of Fame? Yeah. But I'll throw this argument out there. If the voters are going to have a standard, some sort of a character standard, right? Like, oh, well, Schilling's a bad guy. Clemens is a cheater, and Bonds is a cheater. Do we not do the same thing, but in reverse, for guys who may or may not belong in the Hall of Fame, but they were really good guys? Like, where's Johnny Damon getting into the Hall of Fame because he donated to charitable causes and gave money back to the communities that he lived in? Where's Raul Ibanez? Where's Torrey Hunter? Who were both all notable, very respected players within their not only organizations, but the communities in which they lived. Maybe they don't have the Hall of Fame numbers, but if we're absolutely dead set, if journalists and writers are so dead set on, you know, not allowing guys with tainted characters in the Hall of Fame, well, then, shouldn't we also, by that same token, look the other way when a guy might not have Hall of Fame credentials, but hey, he's a really good guy, we should let him in?
Well, I see exactly where you're coming from, and I can even take it one step further. I cannot put Curt Schilling in the same category as Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. I can't do it. Okay, because there is actual, tangible evidence to cheating tied to Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. There's no tangible evidence tied to Curt Schilling for cheating. The reason you're keeping this guy out of the Hall of Fame, and we'll go over these numbers, 216 wins, 3,116 strikeouts, a 3.4 ERA. I mean, come on, these are Hall of Fame numbers. The guy was 11-2 in the playoffs with a 2.2 ERA and 19 postseason starts. Yes, they are Hall of Fame numbers. If you want to keep Curt Schilling out because he has made offensive comments, you have then chosen to be offended by his comments. I'm not agreeing with what Curt Schilling has said in the past. I'm just saying him making comments that you don't agree with has nothing to do with what he did in the dugout and on the field as a baseball player. This is completely out of line. You cannot put him in the same category as Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. You cannot put him in the same category as Pete Rose. It's ridiculous.
Nor can you put him in the same category as Alex Rodriguez, who will make his first appearance on a ballot next year.
And so will get in. And will get in,
Steve. If these are bad guys because they cheated, then fine. You have a right to feel that way as a journalist. But let me also throw this out there. It was reported last night that of the people who are sent ballots, the members of the Baseball Writers Association of America, 14 people filled out or returned ballots that were blank. For the years that I covered horse racing, I was an active member in voting on the Eclipse Awards. You know how long of a process it is to vote for the Horse of the Year, top three-year-old? It's a 15-minute process. They send you a ballot. You circle. It's like a Scantron test for those of you out there who are old enough to still have taken Scantron tests. You fill in a little bubble, and you mail your ballot back in a already pre-stamped envelope. You mail it back and you send it in. If you as a journalist, as a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America, are too lazy to fill in a blank and just put a name on a ballot and send it back, you shouldn't be allowed to vote. I'm sorry. This is ridiculous. I don't care about, you know, oh, the guys who are first-timers, and I don't want to put a first-timer in the Hall of Fame. How ridiculous is that? And by the way, if we're gonna single out Curt Schilling because of his viewpoints on politics or whatever, Mariano Rivera, ironically enough, is a massive supporter of Donald Trump. And he was the only unanimous voted player entered into the Hall of Fame. The only one.
You know what's so wrong about it, though?
Let him in without, we unanimously voted him into the Hall of Fame.
But that, again, this is the United States of America. To keep somebody out of the Hall of Fame, not based on their character on the field or in the dugout, but to keep them out because you don't agree with their political point of view is the most ludicrous, ridiculous, insane argument I have ever heard in my life.
I have major issues with Pete Rose being in the Hall of Fame because what he did was genuinely wrong, and he was banned from baseball as a result of it. We're going to keep Barry Bonds, and we're going to keep Roger Clemens out of the Hall of Fame because they cheated, then keep them out of the Hall of Fame. I have no problem with that. Okay, Pete Rose, I think, should be in, but posthumously, because what he did was fiscally, I guess, wrong. I guess it was a gambling thing. It's a cardinal rule, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Fine, he shouldn't be able to profit from it, which you know he would. So put him in posthumously. You want to do that with Bonds? You want to do that with Clemens? That's fine. Put them in posthumously. So they can't reward themselves for it. They can't be rewarded for it. Fine. The Curt Schilling thing is ridiculous. The Curt Schilling argument is ridiculous. The Alex Rodriguez discussion is going to come up because you know it's been well documented, his PED issues. It's been well documented, his steroid issues. He's not going to even get close to it. And by the way, you know who else didn't get close to any sort of respectable numbers in this year's balloting? It's a guy that went to Sammy Sosa. And, you know, I mean, how is it that we can justify Bonds and Clemens getting 61% of the votes? But Sammy Sosa, who was involved in that same era as Mark McGwire, he gets, what, I think he got 30% of the vote. And he's never even come close.
I think it was less than that, actually. Manny Ramirez stayed the same.
It may have been 17%.
It was 17.
It may have been even less than that.
Yeah, it was 17.
But it's ridiculous that there's a standard for one, but not a standard for another, or not the same standard at all. And again, this comes back to the voters. And what are the qualifications of the voters? Well, they're journalists, they're writers. Well, what are your qualifications? How long have you been covering the sport? And what's your reason for being the one guy last year, the one journalist who still is anonymous, I believe it is, who didn't vote for Derek Jeter when it was so clearly obvious that he should have been a unanimous Hall of Famer? And again, one of those guys who not only was a great baseball player, but a genuinely good guy off the field as well. Charitable donations, he did work in the communities, et cetera. Played on the same team his entire career, all those things that would have made him a unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer, and yet someone decided they wanted to make news for themselves.
Yeah, you know, it's the baseball creates this type of storyline, and I'm glad you brought up Pete Rose because I have to have this conversation with people every single year, and I'm fine with your take on it, Steve. If you want to put him in after he passes away, fine. He is serving a lifetime ban. The guy cheated the game of baseball. He cheated the game of baseball. He was in a position to where he could fix a game. I don't understand why that's so hard for people to understand. This guy was in a position where he could fix the outcome of a game, and he has lied about it for three decades. Okay, then you move on to Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens. I'll give you another one. You mentioned Sammy Sosa. What about Manny Ramirez? If you're going to at least consider Alex Rodriguez, you at least have to consider Manny Ramirez, and he's been the same. I think he's at 28% this year. He was at 28% last year. Would I put him in? No, I wouldn't vote for him. But when you mention Alex Rodriguez, there's a thing called apologia tactics. It's how you rebuild your image after going through really a downfall, right? And I think that the poster child for this particular topic is Tiger Woods. We have never seen an athlete fall from grace the way Tiger Woods did. When you look at Alex Rodriguez, Steve, this guy is now, in my mind, the new poster child for rebuilding your image. The apologia tactics that he has applied to this process, it's extraordinary. And people forget about it all the time now. I don't believe that you mentioned the word cheater with Alex Rodriguez anymore. He's done a terrific job on TV. He's done a great job of repairing that image. I think A-Rod gets closer than you think. I really do.
And that even speaks more to the hypocrisy of it all. Because Kennesaw Mountain Landis, who was the original commissioner of baseball back around the time of the Chicago Black Sox scandal, this is the guy who openly kept minorities out of baseball for decades. And he's in the Hall of Fame. He openly kept minorities, blacks, out of baseball, out of Major League Baseball for decades. And he's in the Hall of Fame. So if we're going to reward bad guys, then by that same token, or we're going to have, you know, a problem because we don't want to reward bad guys, then shouldn't we also have that same problem come up with a guy who's maybe a good guy? Maybe he was a decent guy. Maybe we should put him in the Hall of Fame. And again, the Hall of Fame is a museum. It's located in a small town that you'd never heard of unless the Baseball Hall of Fame was there in Western New York. No one would even know what Cooperstown was were it not for the Baseball Hall of Fame, right? So why are we so, why does this topic come up every year where everyone gets really passionate about it and then it goes away in a few days because a few guys decided, oh, I'm going to be that person. I'm going to be that journalist, whatever, that doesn't want to, you know, allow a player in the Hall of Fame because he did this or that. Again, the Curt Schilling case, I'm not particularly a fan of him in the Hall of Fame because I don't think that he really hits that highest of standards. Clemens and Bonds clearly do, but they did it through nefarious means. Alex Rodriguez did it through nefarious means. They don't get in. I get that. I have no problem with that. But the argument about, like you said a moment ago, the argument to keep Schilling out because of what he said is preposterous to me, and it speaks volumes to the cancel culture generation that unfortunately we find ourselves in.
And as far as nobody getting in 2021, I can't stress this enough. I'm okay with it. Okay, what are the problems that we have right now when we look at the the Basketball Hall of Fame, the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, or the Pro Football Hall of Fame? It's the Hall of Fame. It's not the Hall of Very Good. Okay, so when you look at the top three vote getters this year for Cooperstown, Curt Schilling 1, Barry Bonds 2, Roger Clemens 3. You just mentioned a moment ago, yes, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, absolutely, no doubt, Hall of Famers. However, there is the cheating that is involved, and that's what's kept them out. Once you get beyond Roger Clemens, you have Scott Rowland, who is up. He was up from last year. I believe Scott Rowland got 52%, if I'm not mistaken, this year. So he was up from 35. Omar Vizquel goes down. Billy Wagner, Todd Helton, Gary Sheffield, Andrew Jones, Jeff Kent. When I mention those names, that represents, in my mind, the Hall of Very Good. And that's not an insult to any of those players. You know how many Major League Baseball players we have seen, Steve, in our time of watching the game of baseball to say, hey, these guys are in a group that's very good. That's not an insult to say they are not Hall of Fame quality. We do not have to have a Hall of Fame class every single season. We just don't.
A.J. Burnett got votes for the Hall of Fame. A.J. Burnett. Are you absolutely kidding me?
Barry Zito got a vote.
Yeah. I wouldn't, in my wildest dreams, if I was A.J. Burnett and woke up, I got votes for the Hall of Fame. If I was A.J. Burnett, I'd be like, who the hell did that? Like, who thinks I'm a Hall of Famer? Nobody. Nobody but the president of the A.J. Burnett fan club thinks that A.J. Burnett's a Hall of Famer. Nobody.
It's okay to not have a class every year. It is.
It's okay to not be a Hall of Famer.
Sure.
And this argument's going to come up. You mentioned basketball. This argument's going to come up in football in a few years, 5 years, I guess it'll be now, since Phillip Rivers retired. That name's going to come up. Phillip Rivers in no way, shape, or form should be in the Hall of Fame. None. Zero. Should not be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's it. But that conversation's going to come up. And it's unfortunate that he's not going to get in there. I would even argue, and obviously Aaron Rodgers is going to get in, but you could make a case against it. Postseason record is god-awful. His postseason performances were god-awful. And what are we judging it on? Okay, we're going to judge it on individual achievements, individual accomplishments. Great. Then you encompass all of those individual accomplishments as well as their individual failures.
Steve Bordstein, again, our guest as we talk Cooperstown, the Baseball Hall of Fame. Boy, it's a fun topic every year, isn't it? If it's someone...
It gives those of us who are kind of like, okay, yeah, we know the Super Bowl's coming up, but we need something to get us through the weekend, so let's get that out of the way.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if it's Derek Jeter not getting 100% of the vote, if it's Ken Griffey Jr. not getting 100% of the vote, if it's Mariano Rivera getting 100% of the vote, whatever it is, there's always controversy surrounding, and it's only baseball. Have you noticed this? It's only baseball. I don't see people yelling and screaming and fighting over the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There are people that are probably pissed off in some sense that one of their favorite players or coaches isn't in. Sure, we could make that case, but not like baseball, Steve. It's just different.
It is different, and I think it speaks volumes to the theory or the notion that we don't care about baseball very much in this country, right? Baseball's not the national pastime anymore. I think this completely ruins that notion, right? Because we clearly care enough about it to have this conversation every single year. And it'll be fascinating to see, to your point earlier, Jordan, about the Alex Rodriguez thing. Like, has he rebuilt his image enough? Because I would make the case that if we're going to say that Alex Rodriguez has rebuilt his image, Pete Rose was on Fox television, you know, with Major League Baseball broadcast. I mean, Pete Rose tried to rehab his image a little bit, didn't do him any good. So I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that rehab process plays itself out. Maybe he needs to make more appearances with Jennifer Lopez. Maybe he needs to, you know, do some charity things with his wife, the singer. And then maybe that'll continue to rehab his image. He's done great on television. Pete Rose was decent on TV. But if we're going to hold Pete Rose's sins against him, then we should also hold Alex Rodriguez, we should also hold Barry Bonds, we should also hold Roger Clemens' sins against them as well.
I cannot disagree with you more, and I've got to stress that point. I do not believe Alex Rodriguez should get in, for the same reasons I don't believe Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Pete Rose, Manny Ramirez, Sammy Sosa. Same reason I don't believe any of those guys should be in.
Mark McGwire.
Mark McGwire's another one. I don't believe they should be in. I'm curious to see how the image repair of Alex Rodriguez plays out moving forward. Steve Bordstein, again, our guest. Steve, excellent segment, a lot of fun. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of you.
You can find more of me on Twitter. I'm currently working for a couple of radio stations in the beautiful town of Durango, Colorado, representing Radio Durango and Four Corners Broadcasting. You can follow me there on Twitter at Radio Durango SB.
Steve, always a pleasure. I look forward to doing it again real soon. Thank you for the time.
Myself as well. Thank you for the time.
Nothing like a baseball talk to get the blood flowing, right? We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Don't forget, we got a lot of high school basketball tonight. Big game. Carbon Richfield, winner of this contest, will solidify second place, moving into the second go-around of region play. Live coverage of that game is going to begin at 6:30 on our sister station, KRPX 95.3 The Peak. Also tonight, Emory, South Sevier, live coverage at 6:30. Tip off at 7. You can listen to both games at CastleCountryRadio.com. On the show tomorrow, we're going to be joined by Coach Kurt Christiansen of the Emory High School wrestling team, and we'll talk more NBA. Some interesting storylines coming out today regarding Andre Drummond and Kevin Love. That'll be on the show tomorrow. Until then, be safe. I am out.